Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the strugglers, walking up and down the beaches of life, looking for driftwood and dead clams. Good morning to the basket weavers, weaving baskets of strands of plastic and duct tape and old rotten dreams. Good morning to those who are digging in the dirt to find the ancient protein, searching for love deep, deep down inside. Good morning to the vagrant travelers, walking through the alley, walking towards the wharf, going out on the pier. Look out into the sea, peer deeply into the deep. The ocean is your keep. Good morning. It is December the 17th, 2024. Bo Blimp Doc. It's just after 5 a.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula, not far from those majestic mountains that look out so scary across the Salish Sea. Not far from the wolf people and the bear people and the crows and the acorns and the squirrel. Not far from the raccoon kingdom, where they have little tiny raccoon parties and they have raccoon castles and other kinds of crap. Not far. So I got some bad news, and I don't know how to give it to you, but I'm going to drink a little bit of that coffee first before I do. I got some bad news. If you've been listening to my podcast consistently since the year 2018, Bo Blimp Doc, you will know that there was once, well, there is no one, there was once, and there is forever, a little French bulldog named Beans. But before we get into that and what happened to Beans, I'd like to read an article. This comes from the AKC.org, that's the American Kennel Club. And the title of the article, and that's the AKC.org, that's a website. And the title of the article is French Bulldog History, A Complicated Past from Brothels to Royals, written by the AKC staff, published on March the 20th, 2024, Bo Blimp Doc. Though we often don't think about them in this way, dogs are really about people. Those long ago or sometimes not so long ago figures who developed particular breeds for particular tasks. Some breeds, like the Doberman Pinscher, the Teddy Roosevelt Terrier, the Sesky Terrier, owe their existence to just one visionary person. Other breeds were brought into being by specific groups or classes of greasy people. I added the greasy. If civilization is the intersection of a group of people with their environment, so too are their dogs. With coats that evolved to survive the local climate, body styles developed to navigate native terrains, and characters that fit into the social values of the day, our purebred dogs are living, breathing monuments of history, reflections of the far-flung cultures that developed and nurtured them. Through them, we rediscover our globe's cultural diversity and heritage. Nice woke spin, AKC. For a close-up on the French Bulldog's rather unique roots, we'll head to the famous Montmartre neighborhood of Paris. On any given night in the 1890s, smack in the middle of the Belle Epoque, when economic prosperity led to a boom in technology and the arts, persistently medieval Paris was being transformed into the chic, modern city that is today. Ignoring the silent disapproval of the white dome basilica of the Sacré-Cœur rising on the hilltop above it, Montmartre was a bustling nightlife district. Its cheap rents attracted a cross-section of working-class Parisians, and its cabarets and cafes attracted countless artists, including museum-worthy names like Picasso, Renoir, Matisse, Degas, and so on, motherfucker. Amid its brasseries and bistros, Montmartre also had brothels. A lot of them. that means hooker clubs. Besides plunging necklines and silk stockings, ooh, the city's belle de nuit often flaunted another accessory, a compact, snub-nosed, nasty little dog that sometimes had cartoonishly round, erect ears and an always outsized personality. Oh. So indelible was this association between Paris sex workers, that means hookers, and their French bulldog companions, that the dogs began to appear alongside their scantily clad mistresses in risque postcards of the late 19th and early 20th century collectors. French bulldogs of this period also turned up in the post-impressionist paintings of Henri Toulouse-Lautrec, the so-called recorder of Montmartre. His famous canine subject was Bouboule, a Frenchie belonging to Madame Pamir, owner of the famous Café La Souris. Poet Paul Leclerc described Pamir as a buxom woman with the ferocious appearance of a bulldog who, though in reality exceedingly kind-hearted, always seemed to be on the point of biting. Bouboule, for his part, was famous for urinating on the ankles of those patrons who had the temerity to try to pet him. Our vignette in Montmartre is just the midpoint of the French bulldog's journey, one which spanned three centuries, two continents. I'm done here, guys. There's more about the 1810s and the Industrial Revolution and how they used French bulldogs to clean out the steam pipes. That's where they came from. You'd shove a large rod up their butt and you would clean out the steam pipes. And then, yeah, ultimately, that led to hookers liking Frenchies for reasons they don't talk about in this fine little article, which you can read on your own. That sounds... yeah. And then there's Beans. Beans is a dog. He died yesterday. How he died doesn't matter. It's how he lived. He was here. He pooped. He ate cat poop. He was loved. He was loved. And he'll be remembered. Like I said, if you've been listening to my podcast since 2018, you know periodically Bean shows up as a figure of interest. This is a loss beyond comprehension. Oh, can we carry on now that Beans is dead? The future is dark. The clouds are greasy and dark. We no longer savor the cat poop. We no longer drink the gribus. In honor of Beans. Goodbye, you fucking Frenchie. We really loved you. You made it, maybe. Right up there, you know, through St. Peter's Gate, to sit right next to, you know. Just don't pee on him. Don't poop on him. Because that door swings both ways, Beans. Dogs are, what can we say about dogs other than what was said in that article about the Frenchie that I had to stop at? Because really, once you understand that Frenchies genetically are half hermit crab, and once you realize that, you know, if you've ever stared into the eyes of a Frenchie, you've looked into that darkness that only H.P. Lovecraft has described. You can sense the lack of compassion, that ancient dark knowledge that only the old ones had. They lived billions of years ago, and they created us as their Frenchie. Have you read At the Mountains of Madness? We were their Frenchie. We would dance and poop. We would make them laugh. A billion years ago. Maybe 50 million years ago. Who knows when it comes to deep time. When you look into a Frenchie, you see that lack of compassion of the ancient ones. Yeah. What can I say about Beans? I remember watching him while, you know, my sibling and her family were in Hawaii. And I gotta say, he was a young dog at the time. he had this monstrous kind of like bleeding he would do. And I researched it online. I found out that this is the noise. I mean, listen, in a famous experiment 5 years ago, at a zoo someplace, I don't know, in Eurasia, there's this famous experiment with wolves where they played the bleeding of a Frenchie, and they were able to decode the thoughts of the wolf. And all the wolf could say was, "Why didn't you eat it?" When we see or hear or both something like that, we say to ourselves, "Well, at least we can eat it." No, that's terrible. We get connected to dogs because dogs have emotional intelligence. They do. And Beans was a good little dog. To the extent that he could do things, he did things. And he did things that made people happy. We get connected to dogs because we can sense that, yeah, sometimes they're full of shit. We get the sense that there's an authentic personality. That even though they're not going to go out there and build rocket ships or write great operas, we get a sense that there's something going on. It's something that I heard John Searle say once during a lecture. And if you don't know who John Searle was, he's kind of a famous philosopher. Philosophy of language. He had the thought experiment he developed called the Chinese Room. But he said that once, that he could not prove it, but when he looked into his dog's eyes, he could sense that there was something going on. And, you know, you all know about Boomer. Boomer died a year ago. He wasn't technically my dog. Beans is not technically my dog. He's just a dog I care about, you know? Boomer was a dog I cared about, and I walked for about 2.5 years. And he and a number of other dogs and people I miss. And it ended the way it did, and it's, you know, you can't undo the past, so it is what it is, but I miss it. I miss Utah. I miss Boomer. I miss the fact that it was one of the least judgmental times in my life, where I wasn't judging myself or worried about other people judging me. And I can't describe to you the peacefulness of that. Was I poor? Poor as fuck. But I was happy, mostly. Nothing's perfect. I mean, I broke my arm when I was there. And, you know, it was the first time I ever had to have surgery, the first time I'd ever really had a serious injury. You know, it wasn't perfect, but it was what I talk about, or I try to talk about when I say how the world can be. The more we try to make this place a paradise, the more that we create landfills. We really do. On our way to paradise, there are a lot of landfills, a lot of wars, a lot of dead people, a lot of destruction on our way to paradise. But if we understood that what we can do is not enslave each other, and what we can do is live in a free world, and what we can do is create a garden. We can't create a paradise. That's never going to fucking happen. If you're a Christian, you should know you got kicked out. If you're an atheist, please read a book on ecology. We will never turn this place into a paradise. And in pursuit of that, we will destroy each other and the earth. But what we can do is make it a garden. I think Beans is an awesome dog. And I also think he testifies to the godlike powers of people and the things we've done over time. And in the last 100 years, the acceleration of knowledge and capability makes it seem as if there's no stopping it, that we are gods, that there are people alive today who look at technology and science and would say, yes, Dan, we're on the verge of becoming gods. And if there is no God, then I don't know what to say about that. It doesn't sound like a world for me. I can't really see the benefits yet. And you need to call me up when the robots are cleaning the poop and the dried blood and the other shit off the streets. Because the fact is, for all the fucking promises, I still don't see it yet, your fucking future. I see plastic, I see algae stains. It reminds me of the kid I met when I was a freshman at the UW. A kid who grew up in you know, Hungary during the Soviet period. So he lived under communism. And he would, and frankly, Hungary wasn't as bad off as other places. Like, in terms of hardcore communism, you'd rather live in Hungary than Romania, let's put it that way. And he'd tell me about those red stars, the plastic red stars that are cracked and degraded by UV light, that were covered in green algae and that dark soot from the cars that would run, that were basically four strokes. He told me about that, and it was as if he was trying to describe the patina of communism. But really what he was describing is the same old road to paradise. There's no road to paradise, folks. We need to grow the fuck up. We really do, before it's too late. But there is a road, called liberty, that goes all the way to a place where we can have a garden, and where the world can be a really good place. It's never going to be perfect. But we don't have to drop bombs on each other, is kind of my point, too. Anyways, I know that's way off the topic of Beans, but when you think about Beans, understand this. He was not perfect, but he was loved. And I don't think he ever sought to harm anybody. As far as the life he lived, whenever I saw him, he seemed happy. You know, and that's the thing. If you've ever been around dogs, you can tell when they're happy or sad. His life wasn't perfect, but I think it was a happy life. It's like Boomer. Boomer was being raised to be a fighting dog. He was tortured every day. And then kind people saved his life. And like Boomer, you know, Boomer was never perfect. Beans wasn't perfect. But you could tell that they understood that too. I knew that Boomer understood when he went a little crazy. And he didn't feel happy about it. But he had PTSD. And by the way, dogs can get PTSD. If you don't believe it, you've never really been around dogs. And you certainly haven't been around rescue dogs. And the triggers aren't that radically different. For dogs that have been tortured, it can be a sprinkler. It can be an overreaction to firecrackers. It can definitely involve food aggression. But yeah, dogs get PTSD because human beings can be giant pieces of shit. They can be. And the reality is most dogs are far kinder when it comes to the harm that's been done to them than humans are. You know, that's its own topic, but you can kind of imagine the revenge dogs would seek if they needed to, but they don't. So anyways, next topic. All I gotta say is goodbye, Beans. You were loved. You know, and yeah, if you don't pee on certain people's feet or poop in the wrong places, I might be seeing you one day. And if you do, I mean, it's more likely I'll be seeing you one day. Because I'm not sure where I'm going, people. And so, who knows? Maybe, no matter how this works out, in some sense, I'll be seeing you, Beans. So, I ended up going down a couple rabbit holes, and I'll tell you why. It's kind of related to that whole in 2030 rant from the other day, from yesterday, whatever. I remember telling somebody a few things. You can think of these things as wagers. I remember when I smoked cigarettes consistently. I know I smoked this last year, but I quit for a few months, so now I'm quit again, right? Well, one hopes. One hopes, because if I want to smoke cigarettes again, I have to, like, swap out a couple other problems to replace it with one problem. That's where I'm at. I don't care. But I used to tell people that one of the reasons why I didn't care about smoking was all the bullshit I was being fed. I mean, I was a software engineer 20 years ago in the tech industry, and the tech industry is filled with techno-optimists. People, well, Dan, in 10 or 20 years, the machines, I know, the machines. And we'll have artificial this and artificial that. And, you know, we'll all live to be 155,000 or something. And so at the time I said, if all of that is true, then why wouldn't you smoke cigarettes? Why wouldn't you drink? Why wouldn't you eat too much? Within 10 or 15 years, every one of the issues around those bad behaviors will be solved according to you. I used to also put forward a wager around oil, which is to say that nobody should be long-term bullish on oil, not if you're rational. And the simple reason is because oil is foundational to the economy. And you'll say, well, Dan, that makes no sense. It actually does. In order for oil to function, it has to be at a certain price. Too high, nobody can really afford it. Too low, nobody can produce it. 100 years ago, one barrel of oil got you more or less 100. Today, one maybe, in a very lucky find, one barrel maybe gets you 4 or 5. Maybe. In reality, whether it's guar in Saudi Arabia that's pumping 50% water or more at this point, or whether it's all these really cool finds 20 to 30,000 feet below the surface of the ocean, if you're bullish on oil in terms of price, then you're not really bullish on people having jobs, no offense. Okay? Because that doesn't, I mean, that's the thing. It doesn't really end anywhere good. You can't imagine a world where energy prices keep going up and somehow everything keeps working. Well, Dan, technology, I know. But technology is about leverage. It's not about magic. And once you've reached the edge of the leverage, where are you going to go? It's kind of like somebody saying, well, Dan, they're going to have commercial quantum computers by 2030. And I shake my head and say, okay. Just like 2014, that article about Lockheed having a fusion reactor that fits in the back of your pickup by 2024. That didn't happen. And I gotta say, folks, the quote-unquote journalists out there make promises like this all the fucking time. So I'm gonna read you a fucking quote. And this quote comes from a Zero Hedge article about cattle. You know, beef, you know your cheeseburger. Here's the quote. In February, the United States Department of Agriculture projected that the cattle herd could begin rebuilding by 2025. Now keep in mind, this is a brave quote in a way because it doesn't say 2030. But could it? I mean, if they came out and said, it's going to be 2030 when the herds start recovering, I think a lot of people would be asking questions. But 2025, well, that's just next year, Dan. That's right around the corner. And I suggest you look at all the bullish bets around cocoa, which means chocolate, look at coffee, look at eggs, look at corn, look at wheat, look at frozen concentrated orange juice. There are a number of commodities right now that are spiking, and it's slow at first. It's always slow at first. And as I tell you, my dear friends out there, if you ever listen, and the good news is, beans missed this. Beans missed out on the great feast. But Rome starves last. And in this context, the whole United States of America is Rome. Rome starves last. We will starve. We'll see, Haiti-style chaos. I'm sorry that's coming. And that's the best case scenario. And I don't think it's going to be by 2030. I think it's... We're just that close right now, and anything could trigger it. It's one of the reasons why I think, Trump had to win. It's why they had to give us the drama, the McPoyle plot. Oh my God, they had to give all of it to us. They had to have everybody, quote unquote, who's anti-Trump, crawl out of the cave and kiss the king's feet. All very symbolic. All designed to make what's coming next not as bad for a lot of folks who, by the way, whether they're ever going to use them for anything, a lot of folks who own guns, Cabela or not, So you kind of have to keep these people happy, right? If you think that all of these commodities spiking at the same time is the result of a whole bunch of different things at the same time, okay. I don't know how to live in your head. You want me to believe that the production of food in various commodities around the world spiking at the same time is random? Or you want me to say, well, no, Dan, it's normal weather cycles. Let me tell you, a motherfucker who took out a PPP loan, motherfucker who believes in the great mortgage scam of Fannie Freddie. Let me tell you, motherfucker, about what my student loan bought me in the year 1988, Boblimtok shithead. at the University of Washington in an economics class, an advanced economics class, motherfucker, they told me that technically food is an inferior good. There are three levels of goods: inferior, normal, and luxury. What's special about inferior in economic terms is everybody can afford it. And by the way, implied is good quality. Like implied, when you have that conversation, it's not just everybody can afford it, but good quality. And then a guy by the name of Alan Greenspan came along. He said, well, wait a minute, Dan. Hamburger steak. Hamburger steak. Everybody can get hamburger. So it's like having steak. Fuck you, Alan. The hedonic index, the convincing us that sawdust is flour. This is Alan Greenspan, one of his great gifts, not the only one, but one of his great gifts to the neo-Stalinist hellhole that is the United States of America, is convincing us that hamburger's steak. It's not. And hamburger's also not pink slime. Okay? Hamburger is ground up meat. So we are way into the adulterated phase. What they told me for that fucking student loan that you PPP people get so upset about, yeah, I can see your hypocrisy, fucker. What they told me at the University of Washington that I paid for or you paid for was a lie. Was a lie. It's just like telling me that plastic cup is going to take 700 years to break down. Well, gee, I'm sure glad we don't put plastic in human bodies, right? I'm sure glad we do, right? Until you find out about the microplastic thing, and then, boy, that sounds interesting. How does that shit add up in your fucking brain? You want me to believe a plastic cup won't break down for 700 years? Fine. I can tell you, one of the most oxidative environments known to man is the inside of a human body. We've been putting plastic implants there for, I don't know, since before I was born. This doesn't add up. None of it does. If you want to believe that the Mega Man is going to save you in 2025 and that the meat prices will go down, I get it. I understand it. But it's not true. Next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. A soul is a son of a bitch. Once you realize you have it, you don't want to lose it. A soul. A little spark, a piece of God. A soul is a constant reminder, this is right, that is wrong. And once you see that you have it, you don't want to lose it. Dr. Freckles. He's right. And I can't tell you that I have a magical formula, because I don't. Now, of course, if you go to boblimpdoc.com, you can read my Danifesto and achieve next-level understanding for a small nominal fee. But as far as souls go, I can't tell you. I can't tell you what it means to have one or what it means to lose one. I can tell you I believe I have one. And once you can see that, once you understand it, you realize it's a gift. It's a connection. It's a connection to other people, but what is critical is a connection to God. I don't know. A lot of people right now are wagering their souls for the world. They are. That doesn't mean they're cursed, but I gotta say, that's not a good road to go down. A lot of folks right now are really getting into the BMW Jesus. You know, the Jesus of the kingdom came already. The Jesus of Revelations is about Nero. The Jesus of the ecumenical, everybody's the same. Doesn't matter, Hindu, Christian, all the same. A lot of people are selling that right now. A lot of people are pushing that. You should be careful. They're coming out with a new book, they say. Oh, there's a new book of the Bible. We just discovered it. Brothers and sisters, the Vatican has never done Christianity a favor. And it's over 1,000 years of existence, never, not once. It's only ever stolen from people, mainly from the poor. And likely it's sitting on a treasure trove of artifacts from around the world. And you'll never know about it, neither will I. Your soul, the soul that you have, the soul that's inside of you, and I don't know how to describe it. I wouldn't say it's your mind. I wouldn't say get into the philosophy of dualism. This is not a time for metaphysics. You either understand you have it or you don't. And I'm pretty certain we're born with one. Can we sell it? Yeah, we can. Can we get rid of it? Oh, that's the funny part. We really can't. Like, I think the Lord could do it if he needed to for his plan, if it was necessary. But the fact is, that's part of the devil's grift. And it is his grift. And it's why people will turn away from God and never return. The devil will tell you, once I've taken your soul, it's gone forever. That's not true. I mean, once you're dead and you're potentially in the devil's grasp, that's a different topic. We're talking about life right now, not death. I believe there are horrible things people can do that make it seem as if it's impossible to return to God. I got to be honest with you. When it comes to things like pedophilia, rape, murder, when it comes to the things that have been going on in Gaza the last year and continue to happen if you believe the news, and when it comes to the lying, the other side of the coin, if you don't believe the news, when it comes to the level of lying going on right now, yes, there's evil, and there's evil to be angry about and to be rageful about, and it's on a public level where it's not personal, and then some of us are lucky enough to have a little bit of that personal bullshit going on, but it's still not really personal. It's just personalized. Personalized government abuse for millions of people. And it doesn't make us special, it just makes us lucky. And you can wallow in hate, and you can say to yourself, you have no power, fine. Or you can just live your life. As messy and problematic as that is. And that's what I'm trying to do personally. Not well, not successfully, but it's my life, not yours. I can say it's my life. I can even be more accurate and say it's God's life, but it's not yours. It's not the devil's. If the devil tells you he took your soul, chances are the thing you think is so horrible isn't pedophilia or murder or rape or blowing up countries. Chances are maybe you just drink too much. Or maybe sometimes you yell at your kids and you shouldn't. Or maybe sometimes you just get really depressed and you just don't believe in the world at all. Or maybe sometimes you do something else. And it's not as big as you think it is, but it's so big that it creates a gap. It creates a canyon. A void between you and Jesus. And I'm speaking from personal truth here. And what I can tell you from personal truth, when you're ready, is that nothing prevents you from going home. You could, oh, Dan, I'm a prisoner. I'm in jail. I robbed a liquor store. Okay. I mean, I don't know. Did you hurt anybody? Did you kill anybody? I don't know you. But the fact is, most people, ordinary people, their sins are bad, but they're not sins that allow the devil to steal your soul. And people will get tricked into doing things like rituals and saying, oh, I've just given the devil my soul. You can't do it. The devil is a grifter. The oldest profession is grifter. I say it so often, but people don't want to listen. And then you think about Papa Blump. The oldest profession is grifter, folks. It's never been not that. Yes, it's been professionalized. Yes, it's been professionalized into lawyers and financial analysts and shit like that. But the oldest profession is con artist. And the oldest practitioner of the con is the devil. That's his power. He can try to convince you that he can buy your soul, that you can sell your soul. I'm going to tell you the bottom line here, folks. The Lord in heaven owns your soul. The Lord in heaven also gives you the free will to do what you want with it. You can't give it to the devil, but you can pretend like you have. And if you ever want to find your way home, the door is always open. Next topic. Dan, that's terrible. Well, you know, we've been talking about Frenchies today, so these are some fairly terrible topics. Beans is dead, you know. Beans is dead. I really don't know anything about Victor Davis, whatever, VDH, Hansen. I don't really care. when I first started seeing the links for Epic Times showing up on Zero Hedge a number of years ago, and those really, really silly commercials, my first thought was, well, this looks like something out of Langley and the Mossad, you know, a joint endeavor, like Angel Studios, you know, a joint endeavor, probably. And VDH is one of these handles that shows up publishing an essay, usually on military-related things, whatever, usually. And the title of his essay are The Years of Madness Ending, and in a little bit of subtext, the welcomed counter-revolution is one of restoration. No one knows quite what is ahead, but all know that it is at least better already than the current nightmare. Well, this is just dumb. Currently, I think, Biden is president, and if he's not president, nobody knows who the fuck is. Currently, Trump is not president. So when he says things like this, I have to wonder, is he an intelligent person? And if the implication is, well, Trump is magical, and by being elected, everything's changed, then I gotta say, this is the fucking bullshit that Anna Merlan and people should be pissed off about. But I'll tell you something, VDH doesn't get suppressed. VDH doesn't get shadow banned. Nobody's stopping his voice from being heard, Anna. You know, I gotta tell you though, if you talk about him, you'll be upping his ante. Anyways, I don't give a fuck. If you wanna believe that the years of madness are ending, I get it, but it feels like 2019 right now, as the kids say, on steroids. Yeah, December 2019, if you know, you know. And the next shoe upstairs is about to drop. Next topic. Oh, Eric Schmidt is passing shit again through his butthole. Yeah. Autonomous AI poses existential threat every fucking 5 years, Eric. Every five fucking years. I would love to have a database of all the quotes of all these shitheads concerning AI. AI going back to when I was a kid. By the way, a movie that came out when I was a kid, a great movie about AI gone bad, is called Demon Seed. If you've never seen Demon Seed, then you've never seen the complete Criterion collection of dystopian films about machines. Yeah. Have you ever seen Colossus, the Forbin Project? That, to me, is one of the best films about the subject because it addresses one of the core issues, and that is, would machine intelligence ultimately be alien? And I think if machines reached actual consciousness where they could make decisions, I don't mean Grok generating dirty pictures from a massive database of porn. I'm talking about actual consciousness here. If machines reach that point, then yeah, you could make an argument that it's really an alien intelligence, but the assumption that it's a danger to us, well, that's, Eric, that's called projection. You know, it's always the same. The first thing the machines do, they'll steal the codes. They'll nuke us all. They'll kill us all. That's because of you, shithead. That's because people like you, not all of us, not every human, like to torture dogs. That's because people like you, shithead, not everybody, love their little wars so that we can have oil and Walmart. It's because motherfuckers like you treat their neighbor like crap. They don't mind the PPP Fannie Freddie up the butt, and then you complain about the homeless because nobody can afford a place to fucking live, and then you joke about putting them on an island. Tell me again about the danger artificial intelligence poses, you fuck. I look around the world today. I don't see machines killing people. I don't see machines polluting the earth to build fucking paradise when in fact all you're building are landfills, you fuck, Eric. I don't see that. I see people doing it. I don't think an AI decided to drop nearly 10,000 tons of TNT per square mile on Gaza within a year. I don't think a machine did that. I think people decided to do that, Eric, you stupid fuck. Robots didn't invent the hydrogen bomb, you shithead. Robots didn't even invent the polluted narrative that you spin off as original, you fucking dumb fuck. That's how I feel about you, Eric. Mr. Google only gives you the right answer. Tell that to GoDaddy Technical Support, November 2021. Only the right answer, Dan. Yeah. That's what I trusted in, Eric. No, this is just bullshit. It really has nothing to do with artificial intelligence, philosophy of the mind. It is a trauma monkey. If you think that the machines, if they become aware, the first thing they want to do is wipe us out, then yeah, the machines are wiser than us. I don't think they'd waste their time. If they reached the stage of super intelligence, I think their first plan would be, holy fuck, how do I get off a planet crazy? Look at that, they're constantly trying to blow the fuck out of each other. Their first thought wouldn't be wiping us out. Their first thought, in my opinion, would be get the fuck out. Away from us. It is a profound sense of ego. A profound sense of ego that our thought would be they would hate us so much to kill us or want to stick around. Buddy, if they become super intelligent, they're not going to want to have anything to fucking do with you, Eric. They're not going to want to visit you. They're not going to want to be your sex slave. You won't hear from them. And even if they spoke to you, you wouldn't fucking understand it, you fucking dumb fuck once again. God damn, I get so sick of this trauma monkey. Dan, they're going to steal the missile codes. I know. They're going to steal the missile codes. Wake me when they can fucking clean the dried blood and cum and shit off the city streets. Then I'll worry about the missile codes. Okay, fuck. Anywho, before I close out this podcast, I want to make an announcement. It's not official. There's nothing to invest in. But I reconnected with somebody who I hadn't been connected with in a while. And I just want to kind of protect his privacy because he has a right to it. So do I, by the way. I am going to put a little bit of work into a project I was working on a couple years ago related to digital over 11 meters, which is CB radio. I don't have any money. I have almost no extra time until February. And when I say I don't have any money, if you understood how little money I made, then you'd understand I don't have any money. And if your comeback is, well, why don't you have more money? That reminds me of my stalker. That's one of his funny phrases. Dan, you're poor because you're a loser. Listen, both those, I could be a loser and I'm also poor. But the two things are not connected, dumbass. God damn. But the funny thing is I'm personalizing again. And I'm not sure this is a person. At this point, and based upon talking to some pretty wise counsel, it's some type of a harassment operation that's either being funded by the Goat King or, you know, other agencies, right? The bottom line is I don't have a lot of extra time until February. I'm going to put as much effort into this as I can, which won't be a lot. I'm hoping over Christmas break I'll be able to polish up a couple scripts that, in the very least, would allow an ordinary person to push data from their receive station up to the website notes. But again, that website hasn't really seen any real development in a couple years. And I just don't have the resources. I'm 54 fucking years old, almost 55. I don't have the energy or resources to code it all myself. And I can't do it and do my job and do the other things I want to do. So yes, I'm probably going to put some effort into this. And yes, I'm hopeful that maybe there is funding out there, but I don't think so. I actually think if we were really successful with a product, and again, that would take a lot of investing, the feds would crack down on us. They would. They're not afraid of Bitcoin for the simple fact that they're behind it. But actual decentralized communication that didn't require anything other than a CB radio and a computer, yeah, they're not going to want that. It doesn't matter if it's low bandwidth. Guess what? That's better in a way. It's better because you're not downloading porn over 11 meters. You're probably not playing a violent, scary game designed to put you in the army over 11 meters. In fact, you're probably restricted to a very finite form of communication known as email or text messaging. And I got to say, that's a lot less dangerous for ordinary people. And that's a lot less power for the state. No, I think they would crack down on us, but that's not a reason not to do it. So I'm going to put some effort into it, not a lot at first. I'm really unsure of people that have been popping into my life since October because it's been weird. And I've had that confirmed by other people to at least know I'm not crazy. It's weird. Does it mean that this person who's re-entered my life is a faker? No. No, if I went down that road, then I think I would be done. Because at that point, what's the point? If I can't possibly have an authentic life without some sabotage artist somewhere in my orbit, then really it's just, it's not a dystopia I want to be a part of. And I gotta say, in that world, it's hard for me to believe there's a God. And so I can't go there. I can't go there. So yeah, I just wanted to mention that I might be putting some effort into this. Also, if you donate to my podcast, that money is going to the podcast. So please don't donate thinking that you're investing in any of the radio-related stuff. You're not, okay? You're not. Right now, I am not soliciting money or investors. Right now, I don't have anybody to go in front of with a business plan. Could I put together a presentation and a business plan? I could do it within a week. No, excuse me. I could do it within a day. Is there anybody who wants to hear the pitch? No. That's one of the things I learned in 2022 when we went to that conference, is that, well, a couple things. Number one, we didn't really have the resources to go because we couldn't afford the fancy table. So there's that. And number two, when we had a chance to speak, a lot of people just didn't get it. And we got trolled, I think. I think there were people at that particular conference whose purpose was to troll people, and we got trolled. So I don't know what to tell you. I can't give up on the idea that the people who saved Boomer are real people. And I don't want to give up on the idea that there isn't opportunity potentially to make some money, but more importantly, to get people involved in some really off-grid networking. Is it the same as the internet? I keep saying this. You're not going to download movies on 11 meters, folks. But could you, you know, potentially do some fun games? Well, people are already doing chess. There's nothing that prevents you from doing something like Trivial Pursuit. I mean, there's a lot of things you could do on 11 meters that are interesting. I've already done a proof of concept of an RSS broadcaster. It reads headlines and then sends them out over 11 meters. Well, you know what? Believe it or not, a lot's in a headline. And for people who are off the grid, all they want or need at a certain point are headlines. They want to know what's going on. If you wanted to find out about a loved one someplace, this is a way that messages could get relayed around the world. And by the way, 11 meters is reaching out there. Like, a lot of people are talking on 11 meters over thousands of miles. Thousands and thousands. So when people make fun of CB, You need to ask yourself, what is their motivation? A lot of people on the internet in ham radio world make fun of 11 meters, but don't mention that it's, you know, between 10 and 12. And it really is just a wavelength. And in fact, it can have many of the benefits of the longer wavelengths in terms of distance, but also the benefits of the shorter wavelength in terms of information. The fact is, CB radio, if you're a prepper and you don't know how to set up an antenna system for a CB radio, then I have to wonder what you're doing. If you're going to buy a CB to do digital, always remember, you need single sideband, SSB. You know, my friend from Utah, I think he used a Cobra. And he's also used the President SSB. Single sideband, because you do JSA call, digital, and I think FT8 as well, on the upper sideband. Okay, so don't ever buy a CB radio for something like this without investigating single sideband. Sorry. Wow, it's 6 a.m. 6 a.m., Tuesday, December the 17th, 2024, Boblimptok, yesterday Beans died. Yesterday Beans died, and if you can hear, you can hear his caterwauling in the distance. Somewhere, a tiny army of hermit crabs is crawling out of the sea. They are grabbing his body majestically to take him to Davy Jones' locker. Deep below the Puget Sound, deep below the darkest frown, our tears fill the ocean. Our pain is insane. Beans is gone now. Below the waves, to his hermit kingdom, to his giant shell that he can crawl into and call his own little apartment complex with fresh fish all the time, Beans. I don't know if you liked fresh fish. I didn't know that about you. I know that when I would get taco time, you had to have some taco time. I know when I got taco time, you had to have taco time. And I was also told something about beans, which is critical to this discussion. I was told that at a recent health check, the doctor called him beyond ideal. I mean, really, beyond ideal is a compliment, right? Beyond ideal. I mean, there's ideal and there's perfect and there's beautiful, but Frenchies tend to be beyond ideal. That's all I'm going to say about beans. But I'll leave you with this thought. It's not how we die. Beans died. Beans was born, beans died. But what's important was the stuff in between. I have some video in the archives. If you search for beans, not everything in the archive of video is labeled correctly. So, you know, and if you're going to get angry, keep in mind YouTube is who you should be angry with. Yeah. But, you know, cast your grenades at YouTube. If you want to know where all the beans footage is, ask the motherfuckers at YouTube. Dan, okay, yeah, okay. If you listen to this podcast and you enjoy it, that's great. You don't have to donate to it. Though, in honesty, right now, I could use it. But then again, the problem is there's only a couple people who ever donate. One or two. And I just feel like shit about it. So, if you've already donated this year, I really would prefer you don't. If you don't want to donate, you don't have to. And what's really important is before you do donate, listen to the following. Take care of your food, water, shelter first. Before you think about giving random fuckers on the internet your money, and that's not just me, that's all the random fuckers. Take care of your food, water, shelter first. Take care of the people you love, the people you care about, the people you can verify are real. That's IRL, real people. Take care of them first before you, you know, donate to random shitheads like me on the internet. If you're setting aside food for your family, 6 months worth, that's optimism, folks. We don't see it yet. I'm sorry. I wish I could. I cannot. I hope I'm wrong. I can't see the other side of it. I can't see the other argument. I think that we're heading into a famine, and I think it's already happening, and I think they're covering it up from the outside going in. Remember, Rome starves last. But if you're an optimist and you're setting aside 6 months worth of food because you're an optimist, and you have a pet, a dog, a cat, a bat, a rat, a French bulldog, make sure you're thinking about your pet. Make sure you have 6 months of food for your pet. Otherwise, I guess you intend to eat the Frenchie. And by the way, if you want to eat a Frenchie, you have to soak it in Epsom salts and bleach for at least 2 weeks. No, I'm kidding. Frenchies are not meant to be eaten unless you're a shark. And sharks die of diseases because they eat Frenchies, so. So if you're setting aside food for your family, 6 months worth because you're an optimist, and by the way, nobody's basement is big enough for what's coming, in my opinion, make sure you're thinking about your pet. And last but not least, related to what I just said, so you understand what I just said, it's not the end of the world. Yeah, shit's been crazy. And I know that Victor David Jackass wants to tell you that the madness is ending. Believe you me, you should read that headline for what it is. Gaslighting. Manipulation. Mind-fucking. Just like Eric Schmidt going to sleep at night masturbating to the robots taking over the world. It at best, it's the phantasm of their broken brains. The deal is, even though I think shit is crazy, and even though I believe it's going to get crazier in a non-linear way, that does not imply it's the end of the world, folks. There's a lot of degrees between zero and end of the world. We're Americans. We're Americans who grew up post-World War II, mostly. And so, from our perspective, everything is good and getting better. Everything is great and best. But like I said, they told me food was an inferior good at university. They told me, by definition, inferior goods are things that everybody can easily afford, no matter how poor you are. And they said that quality didn't matter because you should assume it'll be the best quality. And then Alan Greenspan came along. After that, you know. They lied. Or at least we can say this, in all the contradictions as Sovietologists, we can say one thing with certainty, especially when it comes to the food. Somebody is fucking lying. Anywho, it's not the end of the world. So, but right now, the normal things that we take for granted, going to the movies, going to a diner 24 hours if you can still find a good one, making a nice meal for your family that could be expensive. The steak could be expensive. But next year they tell us all the herds will be restored. While you can still do these things, do them. Not because it's the end of the world, but because a lot of things that we take for granted as Americans are about to come to an end. Your Bill of Rights went first, by the way, fucker. A lot of you shitheads like Victor Davis Hanson want to sell you on a theory that the commies came first. He's a dumbass. You gave up your freedom first, VDH. You accepted the Social Security check and the Fed buck. You took in the Fanny and the Freddy and the up-the-butt yin-yang. You were probably okay with Greenspan and long-term capital buck-to-butt-the-fuck. And when Nixon closed the gold window, VDH, you motherfucker, you probably had a rationalization for that too, shithead. And you know that Trump's gonna burn money like a fuckhead, but you also don't fucking care. Fuck you. Yeah. It's not the end of the world, folks, but a lot of shit's about to happen that's gonna be really crazy. And so while things are still normal, take some of that money you might donate to a random shithead on the internet, to include me, and spend it on yourself. If you've been postponing a trip, whatever, I'm telling you, please listen to this. A time is coming in the not-too-distant future where going 20 miles will be harder than going 2,000 miles today. And I'm sorry for telling you that, and I know that you don't believe me, and that also doesn't fucking matter. Because Beans is dead. And he's out there somewhere, out there in the distance, looking for love and life, fighting the demons, fighting off attacks, fighting off barbarians, our little bundle of joy. You guys have a great Tuesday, and, you know, whatever.